The Synthesis of Yoga, Sri Aurobindo. Continuing in Part 2, The Yoga of Integral Knowledge, and Chapter 24, The Gnosis and Ananda, top of page 503. The Gnosis does not reject the realizations of the lower planes, for it is not an annihilation or extinction, not a nirvana, but a sublime fulfillment of our manifested nature. It possesses the first realizations under its own conditions after it has transformed them and made them elements of a divine order. The Gnostic soul is the child, but the king child. So Heraclitus, the kingdom is of the child. Here is the royal and eternal childhood, whose toys are the worlds, and all universal nature is the miraculous garden of the play that tires never. The Gnosis takes up the condition of divine inertia. But this is no longer the inertia of the subject soul driven by nature like a fallen leaf in the breath of the Lord. It is the happy passivity, bearing an unimaginable intensity of action and ananda of the nature soul at once driven by the bliss of the mastering Purusha and aware of herself as the supreme Shakti above and around him, and mastering and carrying him blissfully on her bosom forever. This Bayun being of Purusha Prakriti is as if a flaming sun and body of divine light, self carried in its orbit by its own inner consciousness and power, at one with the universal, at one with the supreme transcendence. Its madness is a wise madness of Ananda, the incalculable ecstasy of a supreme consciousness and power, vibrating with an infinite sense of freedom and intensity in its divine life movements. Its action is supra-rational, and therefore to the rational mind, which has not the key, it seems a colossal madness. And yet, this that seems madness is a wisdom in action that only baffles the mind by the liberty and richness of its contents and the infinite complexity in fundamental simplicity of its motions. It is the very method of the Lord of the worlds, a thing no intellectual interpretation can fathom. A dance, this also, a whirl of mighty energies. But the master of the dance holds the hands of his energies and keeps them to the rhythmic order, the self-traced harmonic circles of his rasa lila. The Gnostic soul is not bound any more than the divine demoniac by the petty conventions and proprieties of the normal human life, or the narrow rules through which it makes some shift to accommodate itself with the perplexing dualities of the lower nature and tries to guide its steps among the seeming contradictions of the world, to avoid its numberless stumbling blocks, and to foot with gingerly care around its dangers and pitfalls. The Gnostic supramental life is abnormal to us because it is free to all the hardihoods and audacious delights of a soul dealing fearlessly and even violently with nature. But yet, is it the very normality of the infinite and all governed by the law of the truth, in its exact unerring process. It obeys the law of a self-possessed knowledge, love, delight in an innumerable oneness. It seems abnormal only because its rhythm is not measurable by the faltering beats of the mind, but yet it steps in a wonderful and transcendent measure. And what then is the necessity of a still higher step? And what difference is there between the soul in gnosis and the soul in the bliss? There is no essential difference, but yet a difference, because there is a transfer to another consciousness and a certain reversal in position. For at each step of the ascent from matter to the highest existence, there is a reversal of consciousness. The soul no longer looks up to something beyond it, but is in it, and from it looks down on all that it was before. On all planes, indeed, the Ananda can be discovered, because everywhere it exists and is the same. Even there is a repetition of the Ananda plane in each lower world of consciousness. But in the lower planes, not only is it reached by a sort of dissolution into it of the pure mind, or the life sense, or the physical awareness, but it is, as it were, itself diluted by the dissolved form of mind, life, or matter, held in the dilution and turned into a poor thinness, wonderful to the lower consciousness, but not comparable to its true intensities. The gnosis has, on the contrary, a dense light of essential consciousness, siddhana, in which the intense fullness of the Ananda can be. And when the form of gnosis is dissolved into the Ananda, it is not annulled altogether, but undergoes a natural change by which the soul is carried up into its last and absolute freedom. For it casts itself into the absolute existence of the Spirit and is enlarged into its own entirely self-existent bliss infinitudes. The gnosis has the infinite and absolute as the conscious source, accompaniment, condition, standard, field and atmosphere of all its activities. It possesses it as its base, fount, constituent material, indwelling and inspiring presence. But in its action, it seems to stand out from it as its operation, as the rhythmical working of its activities, as a divine maya, or wisdom formation of the eternal. A divine maya not in the sense of illusion, but in the original Vedic significance of the word maya. All in the Gnostic existence is real, spiritually concrete, eternally verifiable. Gnosis is the divine knowledge wheel of the divine consciousness force. It is harmonic consciousness and action of Prakriti Purusha, full of the delight of the divine existence. In the Ananda, the knowledge goes back from these willed harmonies into pure self-consciousness. The will dissolves into pure transcendent force, and both are taken up into the pure delight of the infinite. The basis of the Gnostic existence is the self-stuff and self-form of the Ananda. This in the ascension takes place because there is here completed the transition to the absolute unity of which the gnosis is the decisive step, but not the final resting place. In the gnosis, the soul is aware of its infinity and lives in it. Yet it lives also in a working center for the individual play of the infinite. It realizes its identity with all existences, but it keeps a distinction without difference by which it can have also the contact with them in a certain diverseness. This is that distinction for the joy of contact, which in the mind becomes not only difference, but in its self-experience, division from our other selves. In its spiritual being, a sense of loss of self, one with us in others, and a reaching after the felicity it has forfeited. In life, a compromise between egoistic self-absorption and a blind seeking out for the lost oneness. In its infinite consciousness, the Gnostic soul creates a sort of voluntary limitation for its own wisdom purposes. It has even its particular luminous aura of being. In its infinite consciousness, the Gnostic soul creates a sort of voluntary limitation for its own wisdom purposes. It has even its particular luminous aura of being in which it moves, although beyond that, it enters into all things and identifies itself with all being and all existences. In the Ananda, all is reversed. The center disappears. In the bliss nature, there is no center, nor any voluntary or imposed circumference, but all is all. All are one, equal being, one identical spirit. The bliss soul finds and feels itself everywhere. It has no mansion, is aniketa, or has the all for its mansion, or, if it likes, it has all things, for its many mansions open to each other forever. All other selves are entirely its own selves, in action as well as in essence. The joy of contact in diverse oneness becomes altogether the joy of absolute identity in innumerable oneness. Existence is no longer formulated in the terms of the knowledge, because the known and knowledge and the knower are wholly one self here, and since all possesses all in an intimate identity beyond the closest closeness, there is no need of what we call knowledge. All the consciousness is of the bliss of the infinite. All power is power of the bliss of the infinite. All forms and activities are forms and activities of the bliss of the infinite. In this absolute truth of its being, the eternal soul of Ananda lives, here deformed by contrary phenomena, there brought back and transfigured into their reality. The final remaining part of chapter 24, Gnosis and Ananda, will be in the next reading, stopping mid-page 506.